shut up. Put it on triple M. For the new Holden Colorado, with up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
And it is indeed rocking footy from Etihad Stadium here. The roof shut. Essendon taking on the Adelaide Crows. The Crows still very much in the conversation in terms of the 2015 final series. The Bombers' lamentable season has 4 weeks to run. They're under review. Assistant coaches declaring they're on the market and want to head home. There's an exclusive for you, Warrior. All sorts of stuff going on around the Bombers. We're going to talk about them throughout the course of the next hour and a half before we get underway. What a team we've got assembled. Always better when Brayshaw decides that he's bigger than the team, and he's not here. And that means that the Bristle, who's just carried a heavy load last night, Ian Schwatter, I'll tell you, when I was driving home last night after the very sharp hour and a half rub, I put on the M's, well, I've always got on the M's, and I thought, what's the competition? And I had a little flick around, oh boy, how did I quickly get back to the FM dial, I tell you, and they're doing a great job. So he's joining us. Welcome, Bristle.
Yes, Gaz, and got back to the hotel after the game last night, and just occurred to me, and Swatter, you know, are we the only ones in this organisation that actually fly to broadcast games? No one else seems to do
it. Couldn't believe it, Brian. I just assumed to turn it on, you know, heading to basketball and... Thought I'd listen to the dulcet tones of Wolf and JB and
an hour and a half of gold.
No, I didn't hear that, unfortunately. Oh. But I turned on about 8:15 and I thought, what, just don't fly anymore on a Friday night.
Spuddy boy Frawley.
Speaking of basketball, we've got something on basketball a little bit later, Damo, haven't we?
You're aware of this as well?
I think I am. I think I have heard the same thing.
That's also the voice of Damien Barrett, the best newsman in business. And we've got stuff going on here. When you assume the leadership role... And the ratings generally go up. You're more privy to what goes on beforehand. And I've seen Spud back of box here with producers getting grabs. It's going to be a nightmare. He will muck it up. He's got grabs. He wants to throw to left, right and centre. And when we're trying to work out the framework, he goes... Oh, we'll talk about, and we will, we'll talk about Collingwood and Sydney and the Swans. Yep. You know, brave win last night. He goes, we'll talk about that. Then I've got the funny stuff.
No, I didn't say that.
He said,
Gary, funny.
You just said,
That's
stuff.
Exactly
Brian,
right.
Brian, don't tip that's into Wolf's crap, Brian. I said I've got a couple of things that come across my desk. I don't know whether it's funny.
Well, we've got a couple of things
Well, let me just paint the picture.
Well, Wolfpack will be the side of whether it's funny.
As they always are.
Exactly.
Teddy Wheeler and the crew are up. Tom Mitchell. We're going to talk to very shortly. Star last night, Scott Camporelli, the interim coach of the Adelaide Crows, got them going okay. Is he in the mix for the full-time job? By popular demand, From the Vault comes back today. And that may have something to do with the assembled group that we've got in here. So stand by for that, a blast from the past.
Very good.
And
little hint, more of a hint, guys?
It's around our man Bristle, who at one stage went by the name Cool Breeze.
The Tyler Diaries.
The book for that. And there was some stuff that, as we said off the top, some stuff that went through or across our desk earlier this week, Warrior, that you've got, which surprised me, I have to say. And I'm going to be Switzerland. I have to stay in the middle because I'm driving the show, or with Bristle.
No, I think you need to throw to the first one.
Well, we're going to do that one now, or before Tom Mitchell joins us.
All right. No,
let's talk footy.
No, we're not going to talk footy. Spud prepares himself for...
Beyond belief.
He prepares for a Saturday game
He had six sets of headphones
on. I've been up since 6 a.m.
Yeah.
He goes to the gym.
Well, clearly you have, because you get up, you go and do your gym, you work out.
A little bit of a ride.
You ride.
Get the endorphins.
You and Tuddy
with his Mr. Gloss, they call him.
Then
now,
what
Tuddy.
Happens is you get back to the Brighton baths and have a steam or
a little bit of meditation,
shower,
guys.
Slap a bit of moisturiser on.
A bit of yoga.
And what you haven't nailed, Spud, what you haven't been able to nail...
You're a recidivist.
..is getting your hair right.
I know.
A couple of weeks ago, like you had a fair drop of bird shit in the back of your head.
Someone said it was something else, but anyway.
It was embarrassing. Spud... There's the photo that you're not aware of. You've got a clump in the back of your head today. That is disgusting. Go to Triple M Footy now. Have a look at it.
Who took that?
Well, Spud, you can't ignore it. You're like a skunk. You've got to big wad of stuff
it's
in the
gel.
Back of your head. It's not gel.
Actually, Mark Bickley, it is.
It's just a
it's not gel. It's, I don't know, the stuff you put in your hair.
Look, Anita's away. Can you prepare yourself properly when you get in here before you...
I'm wandering. A bit frazzled because Anita's gone down to our very modest little beach house in Indented Head. It's just a box. And she's gone down there with a builder, which I'm really worried about. So,
Spot, that's 100 grams. That's one full...
But it's
looks
log,
like someone's dumped
casket.
On
my
head, Brian.
It's in the same part of the head where it was 3 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, you can't
I don't know what happened,
guys.
I apologise. It's gone now.
Yeah,
it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. But anyway, that's the least of our problems.
Mark Bickley alluded to that.
There are other issues that we're going to deal with today, which involve all of us here. Hey, last night, you were there, Bristle Man. Collingwood's last chance, really, to make finals footy this year. Sydney Swans had to win. It was a no-brainer. They had to win to keep their final four hopes alive with the rampaging Western Bulldogs. They found a way to do it. I'm interested to get your thoughts. I'm going to talk to Tom Mitchell shortly, but on the Magpies, because you and the Warrior, Damo, have been at different ends of the scale in terms of how you've rated their year.
Just on the Magpies last night, the thing I did notice that was that Penderbury seemed to be under some sufferance, some type of injury. He just wasn't himself. You know how he normally sees the game so well, and he puts guys into space and sees it beautifully. Jude Bolton made the reference a couple of times during the game last night, and I totally agree with him. He just wasn't switched on. But for all of that, Collingwood, I thought, conjured up something pretty well. Cloak was an added acquisition back into the side. Played well in the first half of the game, probably not so much in the second half of the game where he faded a bit. But it was another one of those commendable losses that everyone talks about with Collingwood. But for the long and middle term, I don't have any problems where Collingwood are going. When I see the youngsters that are playing last night, I still think they're a year or two away. And I still think that their thoughts in round one this year were that if they got within a game of the eight or they made the eight, that would have been considered as not a bad year for them.
Hold your fire, Damo, and also Spud, because I want to know whether you're giving the Magpies a pass mark or not. The Bristle Man certainly has. The Swans have got a pass mark at the moment. They won their way back into the four. Now they wait on results this weekend. And at the Star last night, no question about it, man racked up 41 possessions. Has taken some time to fully establish himself in what's been a really strong midfield group, but now has become an integral part of it. Is Tom Mitchell. He's been good enough to join us. Tommy, first of all, congratulations on your performance and the win last night, mate.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a really tough contest last night. We knew Collingwood were going to come out firing, obviously fighting for a final spot, so it was a really physical game. And yeah, we were really happy to come away with the 4 points last night.
Some big numbers racked up by a lot of players. I think 7 or 8 had 30-plus. You had 26 or 7 at half-time. Was there an edict from the coaching group or the staff to throw that ball around in an attempt to get some run? Because the handball was frenetic in that first half.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I suppose we do have a lot of inside-type players, guys like Kennedy and Hannabury and Parker and... guys have got their hands on the ball a lot, but I don't think it's anything that was really instructed. But yeah, you're right. There was a lot of use of the footy last night. Probably a bit of overuse at times. Sometimes we probably just had to get the ball moving forward rather than handball. But it worked for us in the end, and we were lucky to get out of the win.
Well done, Tommy. Career PB for you, 41 touches. It must give you a lot of confidence knowing you can win without the big fella, Lance Franklin.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we all know how good he is and how important he is for our team. And, just to see some other guys who have been able to stand up. I think we had a few other guys kick a few goals, Gary Rowan and Goodsy and Reedy kicked a couple last night. So it's good to see those guys being able to chip in while Bud's out.
Now, we took notice last night that Gary Rowan at one stage looked dead. I thought they were going to have to cart him off in the back of the Undertaker's van. He was absolutely completely gone. He couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't breathe. And then all of a sudden, the ball came to the middle of the ground, and he had the opportunity in his own mind to make up, am I dead or should I go and get the footy and sprint away? He decided to all of a sudden fully recover from his deadness and actually went bang and just struck. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I didn't actually see it, but I heard the boys talking about it after the game. Apparently pretty spot on, just was injured and then, flicked the switch and then magically took off again. So not sure what happened there, but he must have seen the goals and his eyes lit up a bit.
Tom, for the past three seasons, every time we approach a trade period, we get told, we in the media anyway, that you're going to Carlton. I know you're contracted for next year, but can you knock that one on the head for us, at least from a 2015 perspective?
Yeah, I'm I'm staying in Sydney. I love the club. I love playing with all the boys, and you know, I wouldn't want to have it any other way. I love being up in Sydney, and really happy there.
Have they made the approach to you?
Oh, I've actually heard nothing. So no, they haven't. I'm not sure if they've talked to my manager or not, but like I said, I'm happy in Sydney. Love being a part of the team up here, and hoping to build towards something special, hopefully towards the end of the year.
Sorry, did you get to speak to Luke Parker after the game? We know he's got a broken ankle, obviously, but did you get a chance to have a chat with him?
I didn't. A few of us were going to go visit him last night, but he was at hospital with the doctors and getting a few scans done. So I'm sure a few of the boys will pop in and see him today. But, yeah, we're not exactly sure how serious it is yet, but we're hoping for the best. He's obviously an important player for us.
Yeah, you need him in the finals, no doubting that, Tommy. Brandon Jack probably played his best game for the club last night.
Yeah, his pressure really stood out last night. A few of those tackles at crucial moments really stood out. And, you know, that's what he brings to the team with his speed and his tackling, obviously, rugby league background. And he really brought that last night.
Hey, yeah, it was great to get out of ANZ Stadium. We dislike passionately ANZ Stadium. I know you've got to say all the right things there, but what a buzz at the SCG last night. 38,000 people. The build-up outside the ground was incredible. Inside was unreal. It was back to its best, the SCG, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was the first time in about 10 years that we'd played Collingwood at the SCG, and it was an awesome atmosphere. And, you know, hopefully the coming years we can have some big games at the SCG to come.
Tom, I know your playing group has got an incredible amount of pride in it. We heard Daniel Hannanbury talk during the week about that. What's happened to the footy club this year in relatively recent times with the fade-outs? And do you still feel that you could get something out of 2015 by way of a very big prize?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you know, if we keep working on the things that we've been talking about throughout the week and, you know, just keep improving on all aspects of the game, I think we can still have a crack at this year. And obviously there's still a few rounds to go. This week's going to be huge against the Giants, and we just need to you know, keep the form from last night going and win a few more games, and then yeah, hopefully, you know, get to September and just see what happens there.
Hey Tom, tell me just in broad terms, what happens when you wander into that midfield group? Because, you know, yourself and Hannanbury and Kennedy and McVeigh and Jack, and then on the other side you had Pendlebury and DeGoey and Sidebottom. I mean, it would appear anyway from the outside that it is so much about, or so there's no going to a player so much as taking someone who's close to you. I mean, in the old days it was on the board. You've got him, you've got him. You know, when your old man played, it would have been someone goes to him, someone goes to Diesel. Doesn't appear like that at all now.
Yeah, I think it changes from week to week. Some weeks there will be a player who might be in good form or who's getting off the chain a bit, and they might, you know, we might try to lock them down. But I think agree with what you're saying. Other times you sort of get to a stoppage and just line up with who's a type of similar player and a like for like. But it was flipping around a fair bit last night, and like you said, a lot of players got their hands on the ball, but it's just trying to nullify the good players when they get off the chain, I suppose.
Yeah, Tommy Mitchell, we're talking to from the Sydney Swans. But, I mean, 27.5 for you. Swanee had, I think, somewhere close to that. But, I mean, did at any stage you feel like someone had come to you to try and lock down on you?
I'm not sure. Like I said, you know, the matchups were sort of changing. And with the rotations, obviously players are on and off the field and then going forward and going back. So it's constantly changing to be able to keep that high intensity throughout the midfield. So, you know, yeah. Swanee got off the chain a bit last night, but we were lucky to get away with the win in the end. And although he had a really good game, that it didn't hurt us too badly.
Appreciate your time, Tom. Thanks for joining us on Triple M Football. Congratulations on the win. Good luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Very nice. And I see Neil Craig down there, boy, on the boundary line doing an interview. Hasn't he been riding the odd horse or two? Have a look at him.
Yeah, he's a bit bandy-legged.
Look how far they are apart.
You could run a pig through his legs, he wouldn't even know it.
Bristol's given Collingwood a pass. He says that the future is rosy, they've blooded plenty of young kids, had some good results, and being close enough to the big guns is fair enough.
And got a good plan.
And a plan going forward. Warrior and Danny Frawley.
You're an easy judge, BT. How could it possibly be a pass?
How could it be a pass? Because they have got a plan that is to peak in the 17-18 season, and that's when they hope to have all their players playing finals-like football,
17,
not this year.
18 now. We've pushed out another year, have we?
No, 17-18 was always it, the peak
from
predicted year.
Well, when do we start this 2018 plan.
You mightn't have said anything, but I've been saying it for quite some time.
No, I've never heard 18 part of the plan. When did that become part of?
Well, let's make it 17 if that pleases you. But, you don't have one peak year and that is the end of it. I expect once they reach that peak, that'll be 17, 18, 19 perhaps.
For the second year in a row, they were 8 wins and 3 losses, yep. Brian. They are now 9 wins and 10 losses.
And they have a very young side, and they have blooded some very, very good young players with 50 games under their belt, 100 games under their belt.
Melbourne
come 2017.
Made them look very ordinary
2 weeks ago. They will look very, very,
they struggled
very
against
good.
The team which has been trying to lose, not that it needs to do that too much. Carlton, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, they lost to Carlton BT. It took them all game to assure that win.
Well, so what? That's not going to detour them from their original plan of getting a team together and getting enough games in these players to peak at the right time and to be a finals contender when they feel they have not got a list of 20 players, but they've got a list of 30 players.
Gary Pert said they're going to play finals and contend.
He hoped they would, and he's got to sell that to his supporters. But I tell you what.
Well, he sold it to you.
Ask Gary Pert outside a forum like talking to someone like a journo like Damien Barrett where he just gives him the answer he wants to hear, and he will say, no, look, if we're just thereabouts, that'll be fine.
So you think
this
Purdy's
year.
Happy not making the final?
I reckon he's not happy, but I reckon he would be saying to himself, we're about where we thought we'd be.
Okay, right. BT, drill down if you can, please. Why are you saying Collingwood's kids and the list they're putting together is going to be better than other clubs in the future? Because I need convincing on what you're saying by way of the future being set up beautifully and what we're seeing in 2015 and 2014.
Well, combine them with the likes of someone like Travis Cloke, who's already there and playing great football and is capable
he's
of really
playing
good
great
things.
Football.
Well,
he's not playing great football.
You couldn't judge his Garmin last night coming back from a car.
No, I could judge it on this year, and it hasn't been
a
great
He's one of the
year.
Best centre-half forwards in the competition. You put him up for sale tomorrow, there'll be 18 other teams wanting to get hold of him. You know, so
no, not sure about
he's one of the best in the competition. There's absolutely no question about that. Every team would want him to play.
No.
They have got absolute growth in guys like Scharenberg, who's only played, I think, two or three games so far in this year. He's a draft pick. DeGoey is an absolute goer.
Yep.
Oxley, who hasn't played much this year. Freeman, who hasn't really played
he's
at all.
Beauty.
He's going to be Darcy
how do we
Moore.
Know? It's okay to
Darcy
say
Moore
that
is already showing signs that he's getting his hands to the footy. And I can remember all players, when they first play their first couple of games, get their hands to the footy, the key position players, they drop them. But once he starts clunking them, once he realises he belongs in the game, he is going to be a fantastic
right,
player.
That's the case for Warriors not convinced, Bud. You might
I'm less convinced after hearing BT.
No, I'm on Brian's side, and it's not very often I agree with Brian. But after 8-3, they've done an extremely good job, Barmy and Buckley, to water down the 7-8. And I know you're going to disagree with me, Warrior, but I love DeGoey. They got rid of Beams. In the next 8 years, people will be talking about DeGoey and Crisp. And I thought he was super last night. Jack Frost is a player that they've got now for the next 10 years. If you haven't got a guy with speed and his ability to... And he's looking a bit tired at the moment, and that's understandable. I think the fact that Marsh is going to be a ripper, I think Grundy's back to some of his best form. I've got no doubt the inner sanctum would look at this year, the last half, being disappointed. But they are exactly where they thought they would have been at the start of the year. A game and a bit outside the eight. And Moore and Cloke in the next 3 or 4 years is going to be a very formidable forward line. Nathan Brown's still going to be around. So I can see a lot of hope. They need Reed. Now, look, Reed's a bonus now, let's face it. But
if he plays, he is a bonus.
But they've got some really good youngsters that haven't
hit. Every side's got good youngsters.
Yeah, I know, but these kids are exceptional, and
why,
they just need a good run with.
No, no, why are they exceptional? You're talking about a bloke who's played 3 games in Scharenberg's case.
Yeah,
Freeman we don't know about one bit about in terms of it being at the absolute elite level.
Because they are showing glimpses of the things you need to see in a player. And that's something that you wouldn't go to the game and watch Scharenberg play, for instance, and go, gee, he's only had 10 possessions today, he's no good, he hasn't set the world on fire, because most people judge them in possessions. Mm. You go, the recruiters will tell you, they go and watch a guy like Scharenberg, and they will say to you, did you see the way he dealt with that difficult ground-level ball? Did you see the way he was able to make that decision in heavy traffic? They're the things that determine whether a young player is better than another young player, for me.
Langdon's going to be an absolute beauty. Again, look, he's
2 years out of the finals. They've missed finals 2 years in a row. I'm a bit more with Brian and Spud.
Yeah, I know than, you are. Yep.
Than, next year they need to play finals.
I'll tell you what, there's some heat going to come in the next 12 to 18 months.
Well, no one's denying that.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't Nathan Buckley and it wasn't Collingwood, the heat would be coming right now.
Yeah.
I would argue
they,
strongly.
They have sold...
And fair enough, too.
The message has been sold pretty well. Yeah. I mean, Collingwood's PR department, whoever's running that, Warrior, and you've spoken
Steve
about
Rowley
this
does
often.
Steve Rowley does a beautiful job.
They've done a really
front.
Good job. They were able to handle the two players very nicely.
Made it an illicit drugs issue.
Get that through. And now they've got a side that are going to miss finals 2 years in a row. They've lost 7 out of 8 games after turning at the halfway mark with 8 wins and 3 losses. And probably 80% of the footy community are saying they're on track.
Yep.
That's a good sell.
I also just loathe how we forget about the current season we're in. I mean, BT's now talking about 2018 for this team. What happened to actually trying to win a season of footy? I mean, if the Bulldogs took the same approach that you're referring to now, they'd be 13th in the ladder right now and be talking about the future.
That's where you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that 2018 is the only year that they have success. I'm saying it is a slow build between now and then.
It was for the Bulldogs too, BT.
I would expect that they would get better and better as time goes on. So that means next year I would expect them to do better than they've done this year. And the year after that I would expect them to do a bit better and be really competing at the top. So that's what I mean. I don't think it's all of a sudden going to switch on in 2017 or 18. In fact, it may not even be that. They could be a year out either side. They could win it before or they could win it after or put themselves in a position to win it before or after. It's just a year where they've designed their whole list around going to. And that's my whole point for them. And yeah, while Steve Riley and those at Collingwood have sold the club brilliantly in their recruiting, I actually had the belief before Steve Riley was out selling it, 6 or 8 weeks ago.
Right.
So.
Yeah, well, it's we like it, but I think it's a very interesting time ahead. Lots of feedback coming through from the pack who are up and about.
If it was Scott Waters at St Kilda, Nathan Buckley's future right now would be a topic of debate. Yeah.
But the difference here is Scott Waters didn't have a plan. Scott Waters would get to training and say, we're doing circle work or square work. You know, now, don't line him up with someone like Nathan Buckley and the club and the support that he's got behind and the plan they've got. Bloody Scott Waters and all these other wankers are out there.
Scott Waters,
and they roll
record.
Up at training, roll up at the game. Oh, who's going to play on who today? Let's hope we win a couple of games here and we'll get off the bottom of the ladder. And at the end of the year, we out of a piss up and we'll really hit the juice and then we'll juice up and we'll come back again. And watch me. I'm going to go surfing with Dermot as well. And I know Dermot really well.
I must admit, when Dermot pumped him up, I thought, yeah, that's...
Yeah, man, anyway. Right.
All right, it's coming through. The pack are up and about. Gaz, your finest host already. Good to have you. Good to have Brian back. That's pretty much the overwhelming start that's come through. Spud, someone's a bit worried that Anita's gone to the beach house with the builder.
Well, if I know the form of most builders... you don't bar any of them.
That's Mark Savage.
Excuse the pun.
Mark Savage. Come on, bro. Spud's wife's away with
I'll
the builder.
What, he'd want to be good to have a crack at Anita.
The DeWalt tools would be staying in the back of the van and he'd be just sizing up the rooms.
I wish him luck.
Wolf doing a great job as leader. That's over and over.
The double drill bit, you reckon, Brian?
Oh, I tell you what, he'd be tumble turning in there.
Crown bet is Bristol $1.20 ahead of Spud at 2:30 to be the first to belt purple. That's from Pete Dunstan. Ah, it's a nice debate. Just quickly before we move on to other issues, the Swans. They're back in the top four. Did you see enough last night? Tippett didn't have an impact. I thought Richards and Grundy struggled in the back half. I mean, I said last week that I don't think they're going to get the job done this year.
I don't reckon they've had any continuity, Gaz. You know, you get to this stage of the year, you've got 4 games to go, and you need to see in the paper every week on a Friday morning, one change or no change. You need the 6 backmen or the 7 backmen as a group playing together for the remaining 4 games, and you need that real continuity. They haven't had their best team together, and I can't see them getting their best team together before the end of the year in time enough. I reckon you need real continuity. Everything's got to go right in this last month.
It hasn't
for them.
Parker's a huge out. He's just about their second or third best player. And as you're right with Tippett, he's what a mobile ruckman at best.
What an opportunity for the Western Bulldogs. It's the bottom line. I know Sydney's run home, Brian's very, very reasonable.
Yeah,
they're probably going to win all three.
Yeah, GWS, St Kilda, Gold Coast.
Yeah. Mm, although the Giants next week wouldn't be a given. And who have the Bulldogs got after Melbourne?
The Western Bulldogs have got West Coast, North and Brisbane, so a little tougher for them.
Yeah, it is tough. It's going to be an interesting next 3 weeks. Let's just deal with what's in front of us.
Most
extraordinary conversation in the ad break about tradesmen, basically. Yeah,
I'm a bit worried.
And Spuds dived straight on the phone and rang Anita because she's no gone answer. Down. Where's she gone to? Point Lonsdale with the builder. And Brian's put a different spin on it, which had Spud diving for the phone.
Well, I just said to Spud, I said, if I was the builder, I'd be, you know, you'd be looking at it. If some sexy girl in the high heels is parading around the living room, you'd be just casting an eye into the window and you'd be trying to catch an eye. And if you could catch the eye, Brian, you'd be opening up the big sliding door in no time.
Brian, can you have a couple of tradies go through the old Romsey Mansion every now and then?
I have, and I'm not full of trust with what's going on
farm.
I generally try and padlock the gate when I've gone, and she can't come or go.
Come on, Bristle.
If someone down in Dennett Head, just drive past the second house on the Esplanade there and make sure there's movements. No.
Tanya wonders why I backed the tractor right up to the front end, put the hay baler right behind the car, and she says, I can't move me car. Yeah, that's because you're not going next door.
Not all builders are like that, though, BT. No. Some just go and do their job.
They are.
All right, let's get on with it now, Spud. You said,
I've got a couple of things. I've got to fly
through.
At the top
of the show, we said we've got a bit of footy to talk. Yeah. You said, well, I'll bring the funny stuff. So here it is.
Well, look, I don't know whether it's funny, but, you know, when you're going to be funny, or you try and be funny, right, and you rehearse something beforehand, and it should be funny, because on game day on Channel 7, Hammer does a great job.
He does.
Mark Little Popgut Stevens said to Hammer pre-show, just at the end of my editorial, asked me about my nickname.
And
I thought, Hammer's thinking, this is great, I'll sit on it. And so have a listen to how it ended up with Big Steve-O.
Before we let you go, last weekend we spoke about nicknames. You asked me to ask you your nickname at school.
Yeah, horse. What? Not sure why.
What?
I'm not sure. Change. I just had a big appetite.
What's going on there?
Steve-O! If you're not funny, don't try and be funny.
He's gone with a horse.
It is about as funny as four kicks in the belt. Mate, just do your editorial. That is Glass Eye Award for the year, Steve-O.
What about Hamo? He's hung him out to dry as well.
Yeah, well, Hammer thought it was going to be big. No. Steve-O give him nothing.
Mate, that's right. As the host, Hammer's at the trust, Steve-O. If one of your panel members comes up and says, ask me a question, you go, right, we must have something funny.
Absolute garbage, Steve.
Old horse Stevens.
I thought it was going to be something about his appendage or something.
Come on,
Steve. Now, as we know, the Dars on this show, he said beautiful acting when he interviewed the weapon.
Who?
Dars.
Oh, you do.
A couple of years ago.
Yep.
And we'll just have a listen to Say That Again.
Say that again.
So that's just gone into folklore, hasn't it? Yes, everyone was saying what a great interview, but we picked the eyes out of it.
Say that again.
Now, Brian, as we know, we've talked about Brian's acting ability.
Yes.
And a cheap taxi fare to Alice Springs or something, isn't it?
The last cab to Darwin,
is that what it's called? Yeah. Have a listen to some of the acting here as someone's got hold of Brian's pills.
Who are you?
Can we just have that once again, Rosie?
Who are you?
There's one more, guys. Have a listen to this. It gets better.
Sorry, it's too late.
Now, listen. Sorry, it's too late.
You've got to get into character.
Did you?
I wasn't playing me.
No, you just squeezed one pill or two when you were saying
I was playing someone else who had a voice like that. I had to sit and watch
I've
him for days
heard
to
you.
Learn how he speaks.
That's how you talk. Why are you on there?
Who are you?
Now, Warrior, is real glass eye.
What have I done
now? Now, on Wednesday or Tuesday, you tweeted something out. We were all thinking, this is great. Seven breaking weeks story to the grand final. You know what he tweeted?
What?
Stay tuned. And well, I know it rates well on AFL website.
It's not a me.
8 weeks till trade radio. So get on that Triple M footy and have a listen to that glass-eyed crap.
So,
don't worry. Mate, who gives a stuff at the moment?
Don't worry about the Brownlow. Well, the grand final.
Oh, that's right.
Warrior, you didn't do that.
Come on, Warrior. All Australian team.
Warrior, you didn't do that.
Do you want to talk about another radio product on Triple M? Because that's what you're forcing me to do here.
No.
There was a podcast attached to the tweet.
No.
Yes, that's what it was.
I couldn't give a stuff about the podcast.
That's the reason for the tweet.
It came across me.
Trade radio. It was a teaser. It was a teaser for the radio juggernaut.
8 weeks of trade radio. Now, as we know, Brian, the egos in this box are huge.
Full of laughs.
No, the egos. Now, as you know, when you sort of get talked about, but especially the current day players, when they talk about you and Bristle and Wolf and Chief and Duck.
We don't need to be talked about, Spud. Everyone knows us.
That's right. Everyone knows us, and they also know how good we were.
That's
Let's
it.
Face it. Yeah, and we do put a bit of mayo on it now and again, and especially when one of your former club, you know, when Swanee talks about your Copeland, Coleman medal in 86.
Yeah.
And especially Jesse Hogan on the weekend. I was all ears.
Star.
I was driving.
What a champion bloke
I parked.
Is.
Well, he'd be,
win the NAB Rising
he'd be all
star.
Over Gaz
He's
and
a star.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I was
he?
Just thought, this is going to be fantastic. Oh, you know, Wolf, 7 or 8 years as captain,
NAB
six
star,
five-time All Australian,
desperate to speak to him,
champion player, went through pain for his club and just.
Yeah.
So have a listen to Jesse Hogan, what he had to say about the Wolf.
Gary Lyon, have you come across any of his work? Have you seen the old reels of back in the 80s? I know it's a long time before you were born, but have you witnessed any of his stuff?
No.
Never seen him before in my life.
Never seen any of his vision or highlights.
That is magnificent.
Goodness
That's
gracious me.
Gaz, I just can't believe it, mate. You're big. You're huge. Now, Jesse Hogan, he is one of the up-and-coming superstars.
Well, as I said before that grab, Patrick Cripps' ability to find the footy in tight in a contested position is underestimated.
Because there had been a lot of wind blowing Jesse's way from Gaz.
Yes, I think Jesse evaporated. Might have been put
That's it. That's
boys.
All I've got. As I said,
just crispy stuff.
Good. No, that was it.
No,
that
not
was Christmas.
No, not bad.
Christmas.
Not bad. Well, what? Now you've got right reply. Oh, me.
I think we'll go with you first.
There's a press conference through the week. Everyone has a press conference, right? So the coach, every coach, senior. If you're a senior coach, Brian, you have a press conference.
Yeah.
That's your time.
Okay.
That's your time to talk to the supporters. That's when there's six or seven cameras around.
Just focus on me.
That's the senior coach.
Yeah.
What would happen?
Hang on every word.
If you're interrupted, who would interrupt a senior coach mid-interview? One man would.
The sparkling form of Roos ruckman Todd Goldstein has no doubt given Alan Richardson some sleepless nights this week.
It's not just ruck play, it's not just centre bounce or ball up or boundary throwing. He's a fairly complete footballer on the outside as well.
Which made Danny Frawley's coffee delivery all the more timely.
Thank you, Spud.
That's my job. Spud! You just inserted yourself back into an interview by bombing the press conference. Oh, sorry, I didn't know the cameras were here.
Oh, got it's not about you.
I'm getting the coffees. I could have walked 100 different ways, but I'll walk right under the camera.
That semi circle of 50 people didn't tell you that something was happening?
BT, that's the way I roll down the Saints. I can do what I like.
You?
I just said to Richard I wanted a coffee. I got him a coffee.
It's Tommy Turkaloo look at me stuff at
no, it wasn't. Just
roll. I saw it on the television.
Well, it probably was about me.
You walked straight into it and said, move aside, Richard. I'll just get a bit of hang time here. Just go around the side.
Yeah, that's true.
In the five years I've been away, the egos have doubled in here.
Yeah, they have,
real.
Yours has shrunk after your run at the over 55.
Actually, said not. When you first walked in, Brian, we didn't even have to open the door. You were like those little slinky snakes, sort of slithering under the little crack. We lifted you up. We had to prop you up on the chair.
Unlike yourself.
You were like
yourself,
old,
funny man.
You were like an old bag of pus.
Unlike yourself, funny man, where they had to knock down another door to get your big head in here, you big booker.
That's
you get
that's
out there on the,
now that's
on the like. Bounce or some show. No one even watches the bloody
the highest rating show on Fox.
Spud, a couple of weeks ago we revealed how you were introduced to a medical seminar as Dr. Danny Frawley and then chose to speak as a doctor and in the subsequent toing and froing after
following
you spoke.
On from the vice-captain of the team of the century, of course.
Following on from that, and also following on from a previous incident where he had been had a name tag as Dr. Danny Frawley and didn't tell anyone he wasn't actually a doctor. I want to...
It was a girl from Sydney that made the mistake.
Yeah, but you didn't correct the room, and you were speaking to
look at it and go,
a who's who of the medicine world of in Australia. Two Fridays ago, so not last Friday, the one before, Danny, where may you have found yourself?
Well, I'm always at the basketball with Keely. She's strutting her stuff.
Yep, you're at the Sandringham basketball courts. And,
King Club. Yep.
And you're watching a few games.
You're not the coach or anything, are you?
No, just a supporter, Brian. Do the timing now and again.
Yep. Okay. You're sitting in the stands, I believe.
take a couple of fouls off our team now and again. Just
on this particular Friday night, you were sitting in the stands about row 8 or 9 or 10 whatever it was. You're watching, and you're watching a game involving Chris Anstey's team.
Chris Anstey's daughter. Izzy Anstey plays with Keely. That's right. She's going to be a gun. She's 6'4" already.
I heard she's very good. And on this particular occasion, she had a little injury and went down, crashed to the court.
Oh, no.
And needed some attention. Now, I've been reliably informed.
Come rushing?
A minimum of two officially trained medical officers who were on the scene straight away.
Stand back and let them do the work.
Proper ones.
Yep. Proper ones, yeah. Sure. First aid, all this, all the paperwork.
And there's a lot of people watching. Oh,
a lot of big games. Big game. It's
focus is right on this injury.
Did you launch yourself from row 8 of the stands down onto the court get out of my way?
It did not.
Oh, no, son.
Did you find yourself actually treating Chris Anstey's daughter while medical officers were watching
on? On the way.
Dr. Spuddy, you've got carried away with you.
Sort of. I sort of went down.
Was the game still underway? I want to finish this story before anyone judges this on the story. Did you at one stage when you were treating Chris Anstey's daughter and looking at where the problem was down low on the leg, did you say, quote, she's definitely broken an ankle?
Oh, I did say that.
Are you aware that the scans have come back and it was a strain?
It was pushed along my desk, and Anita sort of said it a couple of days later.
Do you feel a bit funny about it now?
Did you run onto the court? What for, man?
Well, I ran onto the court. You pushed the doctors aside.
Well, you know,
you've been involved in footy and your footy clubs. You can sort of.
There were two doctors there.
Yeah, I know. There was a doctor and a physio, and I said, "Look, I've seen this before."
They were young, were they?
No, they weren't young. They were quite experienced. But I saw her foot land on someone else's foot, and I heard a crack. So I definitely
up the stair.
Oh no!
I might have got ahead of me. So anyway, good on you, Warrior. Who told you that, by the way?
You've got a problem with the medical world.
No. I was just trying to do the right thing.
No.
Probably got ahead of myself.
All right. Well, just as you need to settle down, you need to stop photobombing press conferences and stop pushing doctors out of the road.
And get the gel out of your hair before you come.
Crows find themselves just outside the 8 by the narrowest of percentage, it has to be said. So, needless to say, this is a critical game with their ambitions on the line. And the coach of the Adelaide Crows doing a very nice job indeed. Scott Camporelli being good enough to join us. Welcome, Campo.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're well, mate. I guess when you've got 4 weeks to go and you're there and thereabouts, you're riding every single game that goes on. And to come here against a side like Essendon, who have had such a disappointing year, in the back of your mind, you've got to get everything right early to put them to bed.
Oh, absolutely, Gaz. You know, we, as a footy club, respect every team that we play against. And as you know, it's really even competition. So they've obviously had their challenges this year, and particularly, you know, in the last week or so. So we understand that, but it's really more about us and how we go about it.
Campo, good luck today. You must be wrapped over the last 4 weeks. Your contested ball and your clearance differential against the opposition, you're ranked one. So that must be a huge fillip for you, but also the fact that probably on the downside is your ball use over the last 4 weeks needs to lift up a bit.
Yeah, as you said, the first part, you know, our clearance and contested ball work, you know, that's one of our real strengths that we've had for a little while at the footy club. So that's really important in obviously the modern day game. You know, if you're winning clearance and contested ball, then you're often playing in your front half, which is the first bit. But the second bit is, it's a constant for us, just trying to make sure we can keep tidying up the skills and making sure we're hitting targets, which I guess all the other teams in the AFL are trying to as well, other than Hawthorn, who are probably the best at it.
Scotty, you've been interested in the form of Jake Lever. Played 9 games now, game number 10 today. Looks like you've found yourself 150, 200 game defender there.
Yeah, no, he's a star. He's his mental attitude towards, you know, the way he plays, and he wants to learn, and he's a really mature kid for 19, and he's played 10 games and he's a real competitor, which we love about him. And, you know, the games he's played, as you would have seen, he's really composed as well. So, yeah, we hope we found one there. Yeah, that's for sure.
I think everyone knows about the form of Dangerfield and Thompson and Tex Walker, but Rory Laird is someone that flies under the radar, but by all reports, he's had an outstanding year.
Yeah, no, he has. He's, you know, his probably last 2 years have been great. I mean, he's come off the rookie list. He's, you know, just under 180, so people don't sort of recognise him, but he finds a footy. You know, he's probably our best drop-off mark, you know, in our back half, so uses the ball really well, and he just keeps getting it done every week for us. So, you know, we've been really pleased with him.
Scott, I know Tex Walker's had a lot of shots at goal this year and has done some nice work at times, but he hasn't been able to impose himself, I suppose, on a game of footy really well until the previous game. Do you know why that was, and do you believe now he's regathered and refocused on what lies ahead?
Oh, no, I think he's had some great impact. He obviously hasn't kicked as many goals as he would have liked personally, but, you know, he's been a captain this year, so there's a lot more expectation on him, and obviously with what's happened with Phil, I mean, that's they had a really strong relationship, so he's working through that as well. But like, he was back to his best last week and really dominated the game, so hopefully he can do that again tonight.
Hey Scotty, what about you know, you find yourself in the coaching seat in the most tragic of circumstances? I'm just wondering now, you've been in the chair for, you know, for however many games, 4 or 5 games, you would have wanted to continue the legacy of Phil and the way that he wanted to play and coach, but also I'd imagine in your own mind you wouldn't have been like 100% in concert. I mean, everyone's got their own opinions on how the game's played, so have you been able to, you know, put your own imprimatur on this group to some degree?
Yeah, it's a good question, Gaz, obviously with what happened, but I think one thing with Phil and I, we, not that we really crossed paths before, so obviously coached against him, but you know, when we sat down at the start of the year, we actually had really similar thoughts on the game, which was quite refreshing and great for our relationship, I guess, going forward. So yeah, there's a couple of things, and as a senior assistant, you've got to keep challenging the senior coach on where the game should be going and your thoughts on the game. So there's a couple of things that we, you know, we tried to implement just before Phil's passing, and since then we've had some discussion as a match committee, and we've just tried to tweak it a little bit, you know, to keep moving forward, and we have to as a footy club. But, you know, no wholesale changes, that's for sure.
Podsy Adley hasn't played a game this year. I noticed his emergency today. What's the plan with him and beyond this year, Scotty?
Yeah, no, we'll just wait till the end of the year with Pods. Obviously, he's getting on, and but he's really dominating SANFL. He's kicking bags of 4 and 5 each week. Just at the moment, with our forward line, it's an opportunity for us to keep playing and bloodying young guys. So he's been outstanding with his leadership and helping those guys, particularly Jenkins and Cameron and these sort of guys in the forward line. So he's been another real sounding board for us.
You've had a taste of it, Scotty, and I guess you've got to make the decision sooner or later. But have you in your own mind mentally said that this is what I'd like to do? I'd like to coach a league club, and Adelaide would be that club. Have you put your name there in front of the likes of Mark Rusciuto and those guys making the decision?
Yeah, no, I haven't. Obviously, you know, I've done an 8-year apprenticeship and learned a lot. But really, I'll just wait till the end of the year. It's, you know, I'm enjoying the role at the moment. But when you're in it full time, it's obviously a lot different. So yeah, I'll just make a decision at the end of the year along with the club and what's best for the club, really.
I know you don't want to talk about yourself, Scotty, but what, you seem pretty comfortable in the role. Is your gut feel that you'd like to put your best foot forward?
Yeah, as I said, Danny, I'll wait till the end of the year. Yep. I mean, the biggest thing is I'm getting an opportunity to see which way that, whether I do or I don't do. So I guess one benefit is you can sort of try before you buy, I guess. But I'm really enjoying it. I've had great support, and hopefully we can keep winning and play finals.
Well, I'll ask you this one then. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, no, I have enjoyed it. Yeah, no, I said it yesterday that I've actually enjoyed, you know, being, you know, taking the next step up. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. And you do, you know, I've worked with 4 senior coaches now, and you can understand where you get pulled and pulled from different directions. And that's one of the things I guess you have to learn. And I guess as a line coach or a senior assistant, you can concentrate more on the footy and not the the external stuff that you get pulled about. Yep. But, no, I've really enjoyed it so far.
Appreciate your time, Scotty. Thanks for joining us. Good luck today.
No, thanks, guys.
Scotty Camporelli, the coach of the Adelaide Crows.
Carlton, I've done well. Him or not?
I don't believe they are. Yes. No. And if they are, I'm not aware of it.
Do you think Adelaide would be considering him?
I don't believe they are either, BT. Yeah. I've heard him answer that question a few times, and yeah. he answers it really well. He's pushing it to the end of the year.
Well, you need to sort of get in the running now.
I would have thought so. And look, maybe he is, and maybe he's just playing this publicly differently to how he's playing it privately, but... I don't think he's in the running for
what's
either.
Sorry, Brian. What's the noise?
No.
Now, I've heard about this. Little squeaky ones popping out. Is that what's going on here?
No.
I'll tell you what, if I get any sign of any whiffer,
no, it's not
I'll
that.
I'll be all over you like a cheap suit.
No, Brian,
like
you and I go way
like
back.
I did
so
in
don't...
the first game where I smacked you and made you cry, I'll make you cry again.
You did do that. I'll put my hand up that. But you never did it again, though.
None of that behaviour in here, Spud.
We're going to talk some footy news now and some potential player movement and trade talk that's going around. And isn't it amazing that this man, Paddy Dangerfield, has probably been the subject of most of the talk, most of the discussion, most of the speculation. Yet with four rounds to go, we don't tend to focus on him too much because the most important thing of all when you find yourself in this situation is you must keep playing good footy. And he's ripping at the shreds each time he goes out. He's doing what he's paid to do, and that is to represent the Adelaide Crows in the best possible light. And then he's entitled to make his own decision, and that's the way it should be.
Gaz, would you compare this year with him for last year in terms of impact on his club? Could you mount a case to say that he's actually been better from a team perspective this year? Because last year was explosive, yeah. but it may have been more individual.
I don't see... you don't see enough. You'd have to ask the Adelaide people week in, week out. But he's just having an extraordinary season again. And what he is he plays a sort of way that umpires take great note of. He's a consistent Brownlow middle polar, top two, top three. And he's going to be there again. But we suspect he's off. Good talking about it anymore. But I think he's going to head to Geelong. And that's a massive move. But one of many, I think, that's going to happen this year.
The rival footy clubs that I speak with say that's where he ends up. And I just keep prefacing it that way. Until it's done, it's not done. But there's no one in footy who's...
What's that mean for Adelaide then? Do they get compensation?
Yeah, they'll get a compensation for
what,
losing.
What sort of compensation?
Well, that's to be determined.
What do you reckon it would be?
Well, it has to be the highest of the highs.
What was Abbott compensation?
Well, you can't compare it, unfortunately, because he was taken by the new expansion club under a different scenario. Yeah. But
Franklin. Pick 19. That was they got the first pick after their first pick. They got the pick after their first
finished.
Pick.
Yeah.
Look, which ended up being 19. For these blokes, it might be
the
12.
Formula the AFL uses. It can be manipulated, as so many things with the AFL are done. So they'll get the highest they will possibly get, and so they should. Not the only player, as we know, and it's been talked about for some time. Selwood, again, for other footy clubs, are expecting Scott Selwood to be at Geelong next year. Also talk, and has been sort of ramping up in recent times, about Leuenberger being another player that they get. I don't hear that.
To
Geelong, yeah. The Henderson transaction, again, to these clubs is done, and that they will get, and the Carlton return was already sussed out what they might get for him, and that it will be a nice first round situation for them. So conversations have been had at that level and on that front already with Henderson going to Geelong. But the Leuenberger situation, Gaz, is now, I think, a little bit in limbo because of the revelation that Stephen Martin could well officially seek a trade to Melbourne. And that is a man who's had two very good seasons of football.
Not Melbourne Footy Club, back to
the city. And he is contracted for 2016, has a girlfriend who would ultimately like to live in Melbourne for the career that she has, and Stephen Martin has certainly broached this unofficially with the club. The club is aware of it. People around Stephen Martin expect him to, when the trade period comes, to be asking pretty firmly for a trade back. Brisbane would entertain the talk, obviously, if they get something very
hot
good
prospect
in return.
Hot prospect.
What that could mean, the filter down effect for that, BT, could well be that Leuenberger, who's just desperately seeking a chance at a footy club that wants to commit to him being the number one man, that's pretty much what he wants first and foremost. The money's secondary to him at the moment. That could mean that he stays at Brisbane, and that has been discussed already. So that's a watch this space on those two big men at Brisbane. Yaron's the interesting one. Met with Richmond officials, and goes just to answer your question you asked me last night, I still haven't found out exactly who, but senior
He's
Richmond
met
officials.
With Richmond officials, Brian.
Personally,
I heard that the other night when you mentioned it. Yeah,
met personally with Yaron, and he was asking, with people he was being represented by, as well as himself, about Richmond being the right fit for him and the right mix for him, as much as Richmond was about him. So
is that what they need, a kicker off halfback?
Class. Yeah. Pace and class. Yeah. And he brings all that. And then what you got to say is we'll back ourselves to get his head right.
I reckon I can get his head right.
Good environment, strong environment. successful coach.
North, we know, yesterday announced relatively the re-signing of Robbie Tarrant. There had been interest from him, including Hawthorn. Fremantle had also made inquiries. I say Hawthorn there by way of interest here because of the Brian Lake situation. Alistair Clarkson yesterday on Brian Lake's future.
They understand the process that we go through in terms of some of the vintage players on our list. And listen, he's been tremendous for us. And we'll make a call at the end of the year in terms of what we do with Lakey. But you know, the next 6 to 8 weeks, he's still got a great opportunity.
You'd be scathing on Alistair Clarkson with that attitude.
Would you?
You would be.
Why would I be scathing?
Well, it's exactly the approach that North have taken with Brent Harvey, where you've almost burnt down Arden Street.
No, no. The different situation there, Gary, is this is a man who's played 3 years for this particular club.
One Norm Smith medal. In a premiership.
And is right now, already on a year longer than he thought he was going to get.
Described as vintage.
And if I'm Alistair Clarkson, I'm doing exactly that with Brian Lake. But if I'm Brad Scott...
Ooh, is there a little bit of hypocrisy in your stance?
How's it hypocrisy? When my argument around Brent Harvey was the fact that he'd put together 20 years. The football club owes it to him to give him the quote opportunity,
owes it,
not guarantee to get to the 426
games.
Which
they'll probably
games.
Get to anyway. And you had another nice little whack at him again on your very, very popular online article, Sliding Doors, which I never miss.
Well, they re-signed Aaron Mullett and then dropped him, and you can't find the wherewithal at the moment to re-sign Brent Harvey.
Now, Aaron Mullett on basic wage is about 15 years younger.
And he's 21.
The mullet.
Well, are you saying Brent Harvey shouldn't go around? Is that what you're saying now, Scott? Are you buying into that now as well? Or?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that the next 6 to 7 weeks would be...
He's played a terrific 20 matches.
Do you think he should go no matter... Do you think he should go next year, Spud? Really?
I think so. On his form, I think he'll go.
Yep. I think he'll
play. Don't
know, what are you saying?
When you say go, you're saying...
Well, I haven't
play,
said
play
anything
on.
Yet, but...
No, no, go, as in go, go,
I think
or
go,
go
on.
On.
No, go on.
Go on, yeah.
No,
go
no,
on.
I think you'll go on.
That man has put together yet another very good season of footy. It's quite extraordinary that we're talking about it in that context. If they want to make a cut on a 38-year-old, put your hand up and say that's the reason. Don't link it to his form.
I think you're jumping at Shadows, Warrior. Yeah. I think you're jumping at a shadow that's not there.
Why don't you ask him, Gary?
He's re-garried me! Yeah. I knew I'd get it out of him. I knew it. I think you're jumping at a shadow.
The thing over the last few weeks with Brent Harvey that I've noticed is that he's been a lot more team-orientated.
Oh,
he's obviously
on the edge.
Oh, you haven't noticed that.
He's obviously been kicked in the arse.
Big subject. He's been no different to how he's been for 20 years.
No, I reckon he has. And done 3 North Melbourne games over the last 4 weeks. And Lindsay Thomas also, that's more obvious, but
no doubt.
You know, there's no doubt that Boomer, I don't think he's a walk-up start for next year at all.
Might have been a coaching masterstroke from Brad.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Brent Harvey is not playing any better now
No, he is defensively. There's definitely a more sharper edge to his defensive side of his game.
So little things that minds like Spud, myself and Gary
notice.
You
just look at the marks, kicks and handball.
You just look at the big picture.
Captain Obvious.
They encourage a certain behaviour in Brent Harvey for 19 years, and then halfway through his 20th year, they say, we want you to be a bit defensive. Yeah.
What else you got?
Evasive. Look at the little fleet-footed Brent Harvey. Go, go, go. Wee, wee, wee. There he goes. Look at him.
You get wood when you talk about Harvey Warrior, don't you?
Nah, I just get real about a situation. Harley Bennell, contracted for 2016 and 17 at the Gold Coast, will continue to hear words coming from the club officially that they want him to honour that contract, but his name has already been talked about by the footy clubs. It will become a very massive name in trade period. I don't believe he'll be at the Suns, guys, for what it's worth, in 2016. No, I just think the interest for him is too great, and I think... My feeling is that the Suns, with what they've been through with him, while they don't want to lose his talent, we might just feel it's best to just depart.
What will they want for him then?
They will want the highest first-round draft pick they can get. And actually, Spud, your club, St Kilda, is one of many. I'm not saying they're the only one, but there's one of many who has engaged.
St Kilda are into him?
St Kilda is into
him. Comes with a bit of baggage, though, doesn't
he? He does. There's no
doubt. He'd be a nice fit for any club.
And the Treloar situation, GWS will obviously want the first pick of Collingwood Footy Club. Should that go the path we expect it to go, that will be on the ladder, BT, roughly.
Is it still 750?
Yeah, it's 750. If you throw in the additional services arrangements, which is outside the footy cap, footy salary cap money.
What about Jake Carlisle out here today playing for the Bombers? Is he going to be in the red and black? Got lots of Essendon supporters who aren't here at the moment but would be listening.
I don't think he will be now. There's been ample opportunity for him to re-sign. He doesn't want to engage in those talks.
Do you think he could fit?
But I don't have a feel for it, and I've tried to get one during the week. What I have been told, and this is on good authority, that the club itself has tried to preempt this potential too and have put those conversations on the table with other clubs themselves. The interest coming back from other clubs isn't shall we say, as profound as Essendon probably expected.
Exactly, the Asada Wada stuff that hangs over. Yeah, it's a buy beware situation.
Buy beware. And I think it's a buy beware on the individual as well.
He's a bona fide defender, though, isn't he?
Nathan Bassett down there too, an assistant coach who I believe on the record on Adelaide Radio said he's looking to get out.
He's out.
He said interested in any job that's offered.
Yeah, I'm out of contract and Port Adelaide, I believe, maybe into Nathan Bassett, and that's not a great situation to have when you've got a club that's all over the shop and you got your assistant coach down there who's going on the record saying, I'm out.
Not a good thing.
There's
going to
be
way,
big changes there, it is.
It's on the record, by the way.
Yes, it's on the record.
That's not a rumour.
It's there, and good on him. He's going to go hunting. Does that mean everyone at Essendon's hunting at the moment?
This is an email that's come through that Big Nose has sent me, and this is why we're going down memory lane and have delved into the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Rub Nipsies. Me and the boys at the footy club were talking the other day about how good it is to have the big Bristler back on the M's. One of the boys mentioned about how good it was to hear the adventures of the Cool Breeze when he used to be on. And they go on to say, these lads from Montmorency, they'd be fair bargains. Mm. One diary entry in particular stood out, the time when the Warrior, because you used to read out that excerpt from Bristle's
diary book the from the 1990 season where he got the arse from the grand final and caused all sorts of hell when he wrote the book.
And one diary entry in particular stood out, the time when the Warrior read out the details of the Bristle's Mad Monday exploits. We're 2 weeks away from our own Mad Monday, so could you please do us a favour and replay that? It might give us a few ideas. Cheers, Watto from Montmorency. Well, Watto,
oh,
yes, you and the boys from Montmorency get ready for a Mad Monday. Here's the man that you can only hope to be.
Triple M Footy from the vault.
The world according to the Cool Breeze.
Just go from one to another. Just really chop me up.
Black and white.
Slice, dice, Luger style.
Quiet, Bristle. Black and white, the Taylor Diaries. We go to September 10 of 1989. Ooh. Collingwood's been bundled out of the finals and they're having their drink-a-thon the next day. And Brian's picked up some, as he refers to it, grog from David Cloak to begin proceedings. And we'll pick it up here.
Dave Bryan, you're not going anywhere.
It didn't.
Bristle, where's he attempting, Luke?
Oh, come on, get control
of your man.
It didn't take long for keen punter Mickey McGuan to start a two-up school in which bets got up to $500. Right. And blokes like McGuan, Banks, Christian, Paul Hawke, Darren Mullane, Murray Renstead, Mark Bayliss and myself led the way in the drinking stakes. Unfortunately, some of the younger blokes found the pace a little frantic and were out of it after just 3 hours. Heath Shepherd, Terry Keyes, Cole Alexander and Jason Kroll were in fairly ordinary condition by mid-afternoon. Unlike my previous 4 years at Collingwood, we did not have a stripper along to add to the day's entertainment. So we're just Bridget from here. So this is, I guess, the 6 o'clock.
I'll explain when I get home.
Unlike the previous 4 years.
It gets to 6 o'clock and we'll just skip a few references to other activities. Oh, about
Damo.
It's in your book.
Turn it off.
About 25 of us ordered taxis and we invaded the Edinburgh Castle in North Melbourne. Oh, and considering the 6 hours beforehand, our behaviour was fine for the time we'd already spent together. We stayed till about midnight, then was off to the underground.
Oh.
Even if the group had thinned down to a hardcore of around 12 senior players, and I remember leaving at about 4 a.m, knowing full well my hangover would be considerable. Unlike Heath Shepherd, who would have smoked 30 cigarettes that night, I, for some known reason, prefer to eat them.
No, that's it. That's...
That particular party trick began in my years at Richmond, where I once ate 10 lifted cigarettes.
This is Clint the producer.
In one helping at the Richmond RSL.
Did he light them up?
After the Collingwood night, my health was poor, but then so would yours be if you'd eaten 10 live cigarettes. After adopting the prayer position over our white toilet bowl, something that thankfully only happens once a year, and that is after the last game, it was time to do some work and think about the year to come.
Now that was all made up, Damo. That was just nonsense.
Well, BT, I read from that diary, as you recall. I can't recall that.
That is Watto from Montmorency, the Bristle Man, having a rather large go at their Mad Monday. They don't happen anymore, Brian.
No, they don't.
What do they taste like, BT?
Not very nice. No. Not very
30
nice.
Of them.
Edinburgh Castle.
Quite some a big
the underground.
The glow of the cigarettes was actually burning my mustache. It was so fiercely hot.
And no strippers in 89, but 88, 87, 86, 85, yeah?
No, we had a few back in the early days. We had a big strip night on one particular day. We had one of everything, Damo. No.
Long time ago, Brian. The times have changed, and thank God. You are now here in the Bucks with us. Hey, we've got a Dennis Comedy going to join us very, very shortly. Game's only, 20 minutes away from the bounce of the ball. Haven't really spoken much about the Bombers. And that's a bit of an indictment on them, really, isn't it? Because this is a once grand football club who, for well-documented reasons, have struggled now off the field in a big way. But the off-field struggles have been reflected with the on-field. The review's underway. Damo alerted to that, us to that a couple of weeks ago. That's caused some angst, I believe, in amongst the Essendon hierarchy. Some of those people that were subject to the review didn't know that that was going to take place. We've got Nathan Bassett, as we just have told you, has been on record on radio over in Adelaide. He's saying he's out of contract and he'll be looking elsewhere. You've got a coach who's got four games, maybe, to sort out whether or not he's going to stay or go, despite the fact that Xavier Campbell's guaranteed his spot next year with a year to go on his contract. Paul Little, the chairman, where does he sit? I mean, what needs to be done? Please, learn it, gentlemen, in this
And their
box.
Wins, Gary, their last three wins against Melbourne, Brisbane and St Kilda. That's who they've beaten.
Nine out of the last 10, bro.
Yeah, they've lost.
Yeah. By big margins, too.
I mean, and Hurdy comes under pressure. He's won just six of his last 24 games, James Hurd, and only scored 100 points three times in that period.
I just can't. He's got to go, Hurdy. Hurdy's got to go now. I mean, that's a pretty obvious thing to say. I reckon everyone probably agrees out there. But
they don't agree. They don't. That's what I'm surprised
about.
Thompson
said the players are drowning in the whole affair. They might never be the same. Hurdy hit back and said he's flabbergasted at those comments.
I reckon he's got his head in the sand, because I reckon a lot of the players at the Essendon Football Club at the moment are not thinking along the lines that James Hurd's thinking. They are thinking, how do we resurrect our own personal careers out of this? Where can we go? What can we do? Does anyone actually want us?
Well, that's the other question that's yet to play out. Come the trade period, and we touched on this a moment ago with Carlisle, the desire for other clubs to take an Essendon player on, who is one of the 34, you're not going to doing anything other than your speculative trading, are you? Because there still is a two-year ban facing these players. And if it's not a two-year ban, it's going to be something that's going to be dragged on into the start of the 2016 season anyway. Guys, the response to James Hurd of Mark Thompson's comments last week, how can he be flabbergasted when he's captain on record when overseas because he's mentally shot? I mean, how does that flabbergast James Hurd when Mark Thompson dares to venture into that space?
In his own words, he says about Asada, it's something I've been a part of. I think any time you're underperforming, which we have for whatever reason, whether it be related to Asada, so he's bringing that into the equation as well. And I guess what Brian's saying, and I suspect Brian has, without putting words in his mouth, is close to some at Essendon.
I know he is.
And I understand it I understand why. They're saying, why will next year be any different? Why will it be any different? Why am I going to go through another whole summer of busting my guts and working hard only to have WADA then hand it? Or we hope it's in November, don't we, Dick?
Yeah.
Well, that's the start of a hearing, but don't for a minute think it's going to be wrapped up inside a week and a half, and then a result miraculously before Christmas. It doesn't work that way.
And then there's appeals.
And there's potential appeals either side.
So they're going to come out here today, this playing group, and I'm not surprised one bit that the drop-off has been as dramatic as it was. And Caroline Wilson always has a crack at me about the fact that I said that James Hurd was a genius at the start of this year for getting that side up and beating Hawthorn in round three. I thought was a genius performance. And she would say the evidence since then says that that comment was flawed. I would say the evidence since then backs it up, because they've been under that much pressure that he was able to gather them up again, win that side, then they got another kick in the guts, and now it does appear like the literal the straw that broke the camel's back.
Their body language isn't great. And look, they're not playing the finals, but so are 10 other clubs. You've got to perform. You're a professional player, but they're not playing for the coach
this
at the moment.
This club cannot move on until Hurd's gone.
Correct.
The only people who don't see that, BT, are the people making the decision.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
They finished in the top eight last year, this footy side. They've won five. They've had five wins. They've lost 10 the last night. They've lost nine of the last 10. Four of them were by over 50 points, and two of them by over 85.
Tim Watson's been so close to this for obvious reasons throughout, and what I believe is what he's presented publicly has been different to what he's been saying and thinking privately. But what he said on Monday night on his own program on Talking Footy was the first time he'd ventured publicly into the putting some serious heat onto James Hurd. He basically said what happens in the next 4 weeks is going to determine James Hurd's future. Now, up until that point, he'd been staunch on the contracts, James is the man. And that to me, and again, it's only a little slight little shift, and yes, I am reading something.
No,
into
you're
that
reading
comment.
That right. I reckon yeah. He's more in the bomber camp than he is the Hurd
camp. There's nervous people with, look, the review with Neil Danaher, he won't pull any punches, Neil. He's a straight shooter. He's as loyal as they come. He will go in with his premeditated ideas, but he'll go on a clean sheet and he'll sift through it. He'll come up with a conclusion. And if he thinks that James Hurd needs to go, he'll pull the trigger. There's no doubt in that. He won't pull the trigger. He'll actually give the information to the powers to be. But then, and that's why they've got Neil on board.
Well, then you've got to wonder whether they're going to be strong enough to actually act on whatever is fair.
I think it's because a masterstroke, by the way, to get Neil.
This same footy club went through the rigmarole of appointing a coaching subcommittee at the end of 2013. That subcommittee put in a power of work, time, effort, money, personally, came up with a recommendation, and then the club just said, no, Bomber's going to be coach anyway. So they are known to ignore the advice given to them, even if they assign certain people to do something.
So, with that backdrop, and that's not going to resolve itself anytime soon, Adelaide Crows are just outside the eight, have been through as traumatic a period as any football club has in recent times, yet have shown real resilience, particularly in the past couple of weeks. You know, the Sydney loss was really bad, but I thought they were terrific last week. I mean, they come out here now. Every game you go, you can never 100% say, but I mean, you got one side who are playing for everything and another side who are essentially playing for nothing. That's what we're confronted with today, and that's why it'll be fascinating. And I look at that Essendon side, boys, and I see Dyson Heppel starting to get weighed down with the burden of what confronts him. This is a young man that should be just in the formative stages of what's going to be a brilliant career, and now he's in charge. You got Brendan Goddard, who
frustrated, isn't he?
Well, he should almost be the man that took over when Hurdy left. When Job got injured. But I mean, he's in a situation where he is frustrated, and by his own admission, has to work on body language and all those sorts of things. And look. Brendan's public persona is a lot of people don't like Brendan because of what they see on the ground and how he acts and all that, and it looks like he's a whinger and a blamer and all those things, and it's part of his makeup, which I think is more complex than that, and maybe because we get to talk to him privately so we understand him a bit better. And I'm confident in saying he's not a selfish type of person. He is a demanding person with high expectations, and he's wrestling with that, but he does want the best outcome for the group that he's playing with. He's not getting it at the moment. And then all these other poor buggers that are just not half of them, but there's about six of them, and that's not good enough.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.